If I can just pray for Paul. Lord, we want to thank you for Paul. Thank you for the deposit that you've placed in his heart and for the richness that he is in our lives, that he brings to our lives. And Lord, I pray that today the message that you have prepared him to speak to us about, Lord, I pray that that your Spirit would anoint every word that he says, Lord. Lord, I pray that that it would touch our hearts, that it would cut through any nonsense that's in our hearts, Lord, and cut right through to a purity and to just being in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. What a tender moment, eh? In God's presence. He wants more than our songs. He's looking for our hearts. He's looking for all of us. I'm getting good at this. Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know me, as John said, my name is Paul. I'm the youngest of four children. I'm the last one standing on South African soil out of six. All my family have moved on to other parts of the world. But let me say, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world but right here. Because God has called us to Great Brack. Amen? Yeah. I really pray that this word will be a word in season for us as a congregation. And it's good to see so many elders from right across Josh Jen that are with us today. And so good to have you guys. We are truly one church. And we've experienced what John and Kanye have experienced as well. When you go to other parts of the country, it's like you're going home. You're part of the family. They look after you. They love you. And it really is what's in your fridge is mine and what's in mine is yours. And we live by that. This afternoon, I want to just share a few things that came out of the elders' time in the beginning of the year. And even since then, Monet has just been kind of unpacking a few things for us as a church right across the regions. And one of the things he said was that we need to go back to the old ways. And I thought, what does that mean? And I know it means that certain things have evolved in Josh Jen, and we've changed the focus of the way we do things, and we need to get back to some of the old things. But the one thing that stood out to me was that we need the presence of God in our meetings. We need the presence of God in our lives. And this afternoon, I want to speak a little bit about what that means for us, to walk in the presence of God. And we're going to maybe look at some of the other things a little bit later in the weeks that come. But it's a beautiful journey, and it's beautiful to see what God is doing here. As he's brought you guys, he's brought you from six different congregations, but he's brought you from Great Brack. If you're visiting for the first time today, he's brought you here. He has a purpose for you and a calling on your life. And we've had many prophetic words, and it's beautiful what God is doing. We've had many prophetic words, and I just want to read some of them just to give us a little bit of context to where I believe what God's saying to us. And even as people have been praying for this plant for a long time, just need to find it in my notes here. No, I'm good. That thing's way too big for me. It's okay. We got lots of time, eh? We're no longer bound by time. I'm just kidding. All right. So, someone saw a glass bowl of pearls, beautiful pearls. And the Lord gave her Revelation 21:21, which speaks of the 12 gates of heaven, which were 12 pearls. And she said that each pearl has been chosen by God. Each pearl, and we're all pearls according to this prophetic word, we're pearls in God's hands for this season. Another person said that they saw a honeybee and its back legs were covered in pollen. And the beekeeper felt that it was time for new wine. And as he was very excited, he looked at the fields of great brack, and they were yellow and ripe. But we need to be busy bees. There's no time for holiday. There's no time for, Great Brack's slogan, you know, living life slow by choice. Yeah, we're going to live life fast by choice. We're going to go with God. And then there was somebody that saw us sitting at a table celebrating the Lord's Supper, and we were covered in a red cloth, a picture of Jesus covering us. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know that, and as I was reading in the Old Testament, where it speaks about the priests that had different functions in the tabernacle, there was a red, over the Ark of the Covenant, there was a red cloak or a red material that was covered first, and then the other covers went over it. Red speaks of, the crimson color speaks of the blood of Jesus, and he covers us. And so as he covered us, this will be a place where people can come and meet Jesus. And sometimes we may feel the weight of these people that are needing his presence. They're needing to experience him. But we need to remember that it's the cloth that covers us. And then Nadine Bardenhorst last week shared a beautiful picture of a fountain. She saw a beautiful fountain in Great Brack. And at the fountain was a bride dressed in pure white. And this bride was drinking and splashing the water all over her, this pure water that was coming out the fountain. And as she drank it, she splashed it on her face. And she was enjoying it so much. And this pure water, she said that she was shouting, "This is what life tastes like. This is what freedom tastes like. It's here. He's here. He's here. He's the name above all names. He's available and it's free." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, let the one who desires this water come. Thirsty, come and drink freely." The Spirit's invitation and the bride's invitation. And so there's many people have seen water flowing, fountains flowing in Great Brack. And there's almost like an urgency and a boldness to reach the lost in Great Brack. The world needs a Savior. Let the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And then we have the picture of the bell. The bell is ringing. The bell is Jesus. And people are coming to Jesus. And I, as I was meditating on these prophetic words, and just thinking about the journey, you know, there's a saying that says it's not how you start but how you finish, and that is true, but actually how you start will determine how the journey is. And so we want to start, as John said, we want to start in the right way, and the right way is in the presence of God, and it's for each of us in our lives. And this weekend I took 2 days. I got on my motorbike and I went out to Willowmore, and I stayed in a little hunter's lodge on my own. It was just me, and when I got there, it was as hot as anything. But before I tell you about it, before I left, I had to make sure that my tire pressure was right, that I had petrol in my tank, that I'd put my panniers on so that I could carry my goods, and I was ready for the road. And it was good fun. But you know, when you get to a piece of gravel road, you've got to change the setup a little bit on your bike. You've got to drop the tire pressure, turn off traction control, because on gravel, you don't want traction control. Traction control is designed for the tar. It's designed for speed. And it can cut the power at just the wrong moment when you're on a dirt road. In fact, you need to be able to open that throttle and spin your wheels to get traction. Also, to clean your tires off, maybe. There's many reasons why it's good to switch your traction control off. But you've got to set your bike up for the journey. And I believe God wants us to make sure that we are set up for the journey. Every day, we need to come to Him. And it was so beautiful, that scripture that Amanda read about, that God is everywhere and He's waiting for us. Wherever you go, God is there. And He wants to spend time with us. He loves us so much. He loves you so much. He cares about all the things that you care about. And so we need to be set up for the journey. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me and diligently seek me. Do you know that that word diligently actually means early? They seek me early. And there's something about getting up early in the morning. How many of you are morning people? How many of you are not morning people? That's the more important question. Right, so I'm speaking to you guys. Yeah. He says, I love those who love me and seek me early in the morning. And so we need to get set up for the journey every day. We need to be spending time in God's presence every day. And so we're going to look at a little bit about what that means for us. If you open your Bibles, and I hope you've brought your Bibles, because this is the Word of God. 66 books inspired by the Holy Spirit by 40 different authors. Actually, 40 different men wrote it, but only one person wrote it, the Holy Spirit. God wrote it. And it's such a beautiful love story for us. It's everything God wants you to know about Him, about His nature and His character. And I hope you brought your Bible with you. I'm not going to ask you to wave it, because it probably is on your cell phone. Nah, where's my glasses? All right, let's read Psalm 63. This is a beautiful picture of exactly what I said now. Joy in fellowshipping with God, because God wants fellowship with you and I. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. And it goes on to speak about meditating on Him day and night in the night watches. It's a beautiful picture, but this is what God is calling us to seek Him. Is your soul thirsty for Him? Does your flesh long for Him in a dry and thirsty land? You know, this on Friday when I got to Willowmore, it was 41 degrees. 41. Can you believe it? I don't think I've been in that kind of temperature for a long time. And I got there thinking, oh, I'm here for 2 days. I'm going to die. And I sat down with the farmer at his house. They invited me for lunch. And I said to him, what do you think's going to happen with the weather this weekend? You know, like, just to kind of see if I can get a heads up. And he said, well, the forecast is much the same of what we're today, you know, 41, maybe a little bit less, 36. And I thought, oh, no. What have I done? I should have gone somewhere else. And I think the Lord knew my heart, and He knew that I just wanted to spend time with Him and didn't want to be stuck in a house with an air conditioner. Luckily, the lodge had an air con. But I don't want to be inside. I want to be out walking in the bush and just talking to the Lord. And I tell you what, I put my things down, I made myself a cup of coffee, and then I got up and I walked outside and I went for a walk, and I promise you, a cloud, probably the size of a rugby field maybe, started to form and go gray. And I think I'd been walking probably for 15 minutes, and I felt a drop, and I felt another drop, and it started to drop on me. The rain started coming. It wasn't big, but it cooled the whole place down. The temperature dropped completely. Saturday, I woke up, and it was overcast. Wind was blowing. I could see there was a storm brewing. But by Saturday night, the storm clouds and the lightning and thunder, and it was just going ballistic. And I thought, thank you, Lord. You are so good. And God knows what we need. He loves us. He cares about us. And for me, it was just such a sign that God wanted to meet with me. And we have to, every day, be positioning ourselves with time spent with Him at His feet. And I want to look just quickly, briefly, a man by the name of Abraham. Well, he was Abram before he was Abraham. He was a man who walked before God. And in Genesis 17, 1 to 5, you can put that up for me. Have you got it, Dianka? There we go. All right. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Abraham, he put the H in him. He put his spirit in him. And he became Abraham. And Abraham was a man who loved God's presence. He walked before God. This implies that he lived in God's presence, under his authority, and in total obedience to his commands. Abraham wasn't perfect. He kind of pimped his wife so that the nation, the pharaohs wouldn't kill him. He did it twice, not just once. So he lied about his wife and said that she was his sister. But he walked with God. He was known as a friend of God. God told him to leave his homeland, and you can read that in Genesis 12. He left his inheritance, not knowing where he was going, because he trusted God. He had made a covenant with God, a blood covenant. In Genesis 22, God tells him to sacrifice his only son, a beautiful picture of what God was going to do with Jesus. Genesis 18, God visits him as a friend. And I love this picture. These three men come walking along, and Abraham standing in the door of his tent at the trees of Mamre, and he sees these three men walking towards him, and he recognizes that one is divine. He's God. He recognizes Jesus, and he falls flat on his face, and he says, "If I have found favor in your sight, do not move on from here, but come and have a meal with me. Let me cook some food for you. Let me wash your feet. Let's fellowship. Come and spend time." And that's a beautiful picture for us. That's how God wants us to be with Him. And the thing about it is, and as John read, Jesus in John 15, He calls us friends. He calls you His friend. If you love Him and obey His commands, He calls you His friend. He wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. And the thing is that our natural tendency, and this is something that Andrew Selly mentioned in the video as we watched it at the gathering, he said that our natural tendency is to drift away from God's standards. Isn't that so? We so easily drift. We so easily are pulled by the world and by the things of the flesh. It's much easier to stay at home and watch a rugby match than go and do something with the community or whatever. Whatever it may be. You know what the challenges are that you have and what you face. I love Formula One and things like that. But they can be so captivating. They can captivate our minds. YouTube, social media, all those things, they're dangerous unless we discipline ourselves. So we're in good company because Moses was also a friend of God, but he also messed up. And did you share what, you didn't share that picture, hey, of the dropping the ball? You did, yes, you did drop the ball, yeah. You didn't drop the ball, you shared the dropping of the ball. And one of the things actually that tied in and actually confirmed just what John shared was while I was running, I went for an amazing run on the farm. I think I ran about 16 Ks around the boundary fence. And what was beautiful was at each corner of the fences, there was a windmill pumping fresh water for the animals. And I felt the Lord say, this is the cornerstone, this is where the water is. Come to me, I'm the corner, I'm the cornerstone. But there was another part where the trail kind of down the one end, it kind of disappeared, and I kind of lost my way. And I felt the Lord stop and just say, go back to the fence, because you'll find the path again. And just from what John was saying, if you feel like you've lost your way a little bit, if you feel like you've dropped the ball, go back to the boundary fence. Go back to God's standards. You will find the way again. You will find the road. And if that's you, we'll pray at the end. And I want to give an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give an opportunity that you can surrender your life to Him. Because as we sang, it's not about our song. He wants your heart. He wants all of us. Every part of you. And so Moses, He messes up big time. And you know the story probably in Numbers 20 when God commands him to take Aaron's rod. And this is the second time that the Israelites are complaining. There's no water. It's dry. What are we going to drink? We should have just stayed in Egypt. You've brought us here to die in the wilderness. And Moses goes to God and God tells him, take Aaron's rod. The first time he told him, strike the rock with a rod. The second time he says, take Aaron's rod and go and speak to the rock. And he strikes it again in anger because the people are whinging and moaning and complaining. And God was very unhappy. And God said to him, you will not go into the promised land. You can see it from a distance, but you will not take up that inheritance. And he died before he went into the promised land. We're in good company. Some of the greats of old have made mistakes. You see, there were massive consequences to his disobedience. And God wants obedience. Can you turn in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 15? Have you got it there? Okay, let's read it. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. This is God speaking. And I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. And what he's actually saying in essence is, if you do not go with us, I'd rather stay in the wilderness with your presence, then go into the promised land without you. If you do not go with us, Lord, if your presence does not go, we'd rather stay here. I'd rather be here. And so often in our lives, we know, we see that God is in the wilderness experiences, the wilderness times. I went through a wilderness experience about 9, 8, 10 years ago, right here in Great Breck. I lost my wife. Well, I didn't lose her. She died. She passed away. Long struggle with cancer. And but you know, God was in that season for me. And God has brought me through that season. And it's only knowing His goodness and His love and being able to be part of family and not giving up, not blaming Him, but knowing that she was in His hand. She was faithful to the last breath. She kept saying that scripture, "I will not die, but I will live for the glory of God." And she didn't die. She died in the flesh, but she went to be with Him. And God is in those moments. You see, so often we forfeit God's presence because we move away in those times. We fall away. We blame God. We go our own way. We follow the ways of the flesh. It's easier. But God is in the desert places. And you can find many, many examples of that in Scripture. Look at Joseph's life. He gets these dreams, and then he's in the pit. And he's there for a long time. And he had to walk a journey, get rid of who he was, and those dreams, he had to lay them down for God to raise him up. And we've spoken about Abraham. David was the same, hiding in caves and after being anointed king. Many, many. Paul lists all his things that he went through. You can read through those things. And yet, he counts it all rubbish but that he might know Christ and Him crucified. You see, obedience is the currency of the presence of God. We need to walk in obedience. And I think that's what God's demanding from us. The first place of walking in obedience is giving your heart to the Lord, surrendering your life to Him, recognizing that you need a Savior, that without Him, we're just dust. Until He breathes into us and gives us life, we're just dust. And so we want to start well on this journey. And I want to encourage each one of us that we push into that time with the Lord in the mornings. Seek Him. Seek Him with all your heart. You see, there actually isn't a word for obedience in the Old Testament. Do you know that? There's no Hebrew word for obedience. There's a word, shema, in Hebrew, which means to hear. Interesting. Where it's used for obedience, it's actually to hear. And there's it also implies that once you've heard, you've understood, and you act on it. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to hear His voice, hear Him through the Scriptures, through His Word, to understand it, and to act on it. Scripture says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And so obedience starts at salvation. This is the first act of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. And we'll give you an opportunity at the end if you have never done that. But what do we need to be obedient to? The first thing is that we need to obey God's Word. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9, it's an incredible passage. You want to put it up, Dianka? Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Is that it? Yeah. You see, His word needs to be on our lips all the time. I love Psalm 1, which says that he who does not sit in the seat of scoffers, and it lists three different types of people, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. His word is life to us. And then you will be like a tree planted by the riverside. And I love that picture because we're growing, but we're planted in the water. Picture of the Holy Spirit, whose leaves never wither, and you produce fruit in season and out of season. And God wants us to be trees planted by the river. He wants us to provide shade for those around us, to lead people to Him. Because He is the answer. And James 1, as John briefly mentioned, speaks about being doers of the word. If we're not doers, it says that you're like a man who looks in a mirror and he actually walks and forgets what he looks like. If we don't do what the Lord commands us, then we're actually being disobedient and we forget who we really are. And then secondly, we need to obey the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, 15 to 17, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And he's the Spirit of truth. He's the one who will lead us into all truth. He's the one who walks alongside of us. He's the one who gives us the strength and the power to live for Jesus and live for God. And so we need to obey the Holy Spirit. And then verse 21, it says that I will manifest myself to those who obey me. Isn't that beautiful? Obedience is the currency of God's presence. He will manifest himself to those who obey him and walk in obedience. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is given to us in John chapter 16, verse 5. And one of the first signs that you know that the Holy Spirit is working is what? Repentance. He convicts us of sin and calls us to repentance. He reveals Christ to us. He points us to Jesus. And we see it so often in worship that we'll just be pointing to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes. He reveals the Father. As I said, He leads us into all truth. He teaches us how to worship God right. He shows us what the will of God is for our lives. And obedience actually empowers us to do the will of God in our lives. And so I want to just as I close, just ask a question. Am I marked by the presence of God? Can people see when I've been with God? Or can they see that I have been with God? Remember Moses when he came down the mountain and he was glowing. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3 that was the old covenant. Moses had to put a veil over his face so that the people couldn't see that it was fading away. But it goes on to say that those who come to Christ, he removes the veil. And we can behold him as in a mirror. And we are transformed into his image from glory to glory. And so as we spend time seeking God, seeking the Lord in the mornings, as we behold him, as we look into his face, another word for presence is actually countenance. And there's that scripture in Numbers which says, how does it start? The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Number six. And it's also the word for God's presence, his face. And so are you marked by the presence of God? Or are there things in your life that maybe God is showing you today that maybe there's a wall that you've put up that's causing a separation and you struggle to get into God's presence? God wants to take those walls and break them in your life. He wants you to surrender all to him. And even as we start this plant, we want to be those who have no walls in our hearts, who have hearts that are soft, that will receive the word, that the seed will go in, that it will germinate, and that it will begin to grow, and it will produce fruit, fruit that will remain. And so I want to encourage you today. God wants full surrender. He wants everything. He wants you to surrender your heart to him. He wants you to surrender your time, your talent, your treasures, your finances, everything. And if you're not seeing the manifest presence of God in your life, you need to maybe ask yourself that question. God, is there something that I'm doing? Are there things that I'm putting in front of you that I'm not able to surrender fully because of, maybe it's walking in disobedience. Maybe there's things that God's told you to do that you're not doing. Lord, show me so that I can make an adjustment, so that I can repent of those things and walk in your presence, that I can come, Lord. And this is, I really think we need to be digging our own well. Nobody can dig your well for you. But God wants to bring living water. He says, oh, come to me all who are thirsty, and I will give you living water. And so we need to come and dig wells. And maybe some of you, your wells are just a little bit blocked. There's some stones in there, or there's some sand or something. Some plants have started growing in there. God wants you to take those things out and remove those blockages. And only he can do that. But you need to repent of those things. Eugene Peterson wrote a book called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Long obedience in the same direction. That's where we're going. That's what our walk is. Long obedience in one direction. Up. As we fix our eyes on Jesus and resolve in our hearts to follow him with all we have, to obey him no matter what, and to walk in his presence. You see, without him, we're just dust. We're just dust without him. Earth to earth, dust to dust. But with his breath, we are his children. We have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. And yes, we may have to go through difficult times, wilderness experiences. 1 Peter 1 says that is the testing of our faith, to see if our faith is pure gold. And so I want to encourage us today. That is how we live obedient lives. We surrender and submit to the Word of God. We need to read the Word, hear it, understand it, act on it, and then also submit and surrender to the Spirit of God. And then we will live in His presence. God wants to spend time with us. You know, I woke up one morning in the week, and we've got two little Jack Russells. And the one, man, he loves me so much. And I think it's just like God loves us so much. But this isn't the perfect picture, so don't shoot me. But when I wake up in the morning, He's there waiting for me. He's looking. And as soon as I move, he literally comes and jumps on me and puts his face here and just wants to cuddle. And I think that's what God wants. Don't you think? God wants us to be wide awake in the morning, waiting for. And he's not, that's the part that's not perfect. God never sleeps or slumbers, so God doesn't sleep. But I think God wants us, to, you know, a dog is man's best friend. And God, we are friends of God, you know. And he wants to spend time with us. He's waiting. I think he's waiting in the morning for us to wake up. And then we just go on and do our own thing. Or we carry on with the day. And we forget about him. We lose our track. And it's so easy to lose our track. Come back to the fence. And you'll find your path. You'll find the road that he wants you to walk. Won't you close your eyes with me? Thank you, Lord, for this afternoon. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word. And I want to pray for every one of us, Lord, that we will prioritize and choose today to seek time with you, to read your word, because it is your word. It's what you want to tell us, Lord. It's your love story. You reveal to us, Lord, the will that you have for us, for each one of us, the purposes that you have for us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will just cause us to come today and realize, Lord, that without you, we are nothing. That we need you, Lord. We need your presence. We need to be able to walk in your presence, Lord. Because when your presence comes, Lord, we have peace. When your presence comes, there's fire. When your presence comes upon us, Lord, we have strength, Lord, for the day. And you show us what you want us to do, who you want us to speak to. You give us the words, Lord, because you have the words of life, Lord. And I pray that as we take a moment now, if there are things today in our hearts, Lord, that are walls, or they areas that where we struggle, things in the flesh, Lord, even if it's addictions, attitudes, some of the things that we do, Lord, I pray that you will come now and reveal those things to us, Lord, so that we can take care of them. We can repent of them, Lord. We can ask you to forgive us and resolve to walk in obedience to what you call us to do, what you speak to us, Lord. Teach us to hear your still small voice, Lord. Help us to walk and live this life, Lord, and this journey in such a way that we don't chase you off, Lord, but that we follow you with all our hearts. And if you're here today and you say, Paul, I've never surrendered my heart to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I've never given my life to him. I've never said, Lord, I need you. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And only you can save me, Jesus. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. If that's you, won't you just raise your hand? Just give it a moment. We're not in a rush. Thank you, Lord. Won't you all stand with me? you sing. We're going to respond together just now, but I want to just also say, if you're here today and you feel like you've lost your way or you've dropped the ball, you even feel like you've disobeyed God, I want to ask if you would be bold enough to come and stand in the front and let us pray for you. Come back to the boundary fence. Come back to the standard that God has for you. And find your way. As we sing this song, I'm going to ask if you would just come to the front. And some of us will gather around and pray for you. And as you recommit maybe your life to the Lord, thank you, Lord. Can we just respond in song together? Declare.
Son of God, Son of Man. Mercy from the Father's hand. Anointed one, humble. Yeah.
When I was in the army, we used to go on Sundays to church, and the way we used to choose our church was what type of biscuits they had. And if we heard that a certain church had nicer biscuits, we'd all go there the next week. True story. And I feel God is saying to us, it's not about the biscuits. It's not about the biscuits. It's about His presence. It's not about the worship. It's not about the building. It's not about if the coffee is ground to fine and we don't have filter coffee today. It's not about that. It's about His presence. And I just want to release a word that's come through.
Yeah, so while I was in worship before, Paul, before Paul came to preach, I was just on my knees here, and I was just like, I just saw Jesus take my face and cup it, almost like when a horse is in a race, they have blinkers on, but I felt like the blinkers were His hands, and as He held my face, He just said to me, Nicole, look at me, look at me, and I was just reminded that His presence is so beautiful, and that's where our focus needs to be. And I was just, as Paul shared, I felt like this was such a key message. I felt like this is not a message we should walk away from and go like, oh, that was a good message. This was a message that this congregation will be known for the power of His presence. This congregation will be known as a people who are a people who carry His presence. And that is what's going to bring the lost in. That is what's going to bring the broken in. It's not, like John said, it's not going to be the building. It's not going to be the amazing worship. It's not going to be whatever, it is going to be His presence that brings us in. So, my Father God, I pray that, Lord, each one individually would allow You to cup their faces, and every morning that they would focus on You, that You would be the one that keeps their gaze, that You would be the one that they behold, that they would find themselves lost in Your presence. And as they do that, the overflow would be a congregation that is bursting with Your presence, and a congregation that is calling in the lost, because Your presence is manifested and experienced in this building.
We fix our eyes on You. God, we need Your presence. We fix our eyes on You. Make us lover of Your presence. We fix our eyes on You. God, we need Your presence. We fix our eyes on You. Yes, God, we need Your presence. So Holy Spirit, for a moment, put Your hands upon Your heart. Let's call out to Him for His presence.
Thank you.
we need. We need your presence. We need more. We need more of you.
Father, that's our prayer, that your Holy Spirit would come and just be with us, reveal your presence to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't happen only on a Sunday afternoon, but Lord, that every day we are able to connect with you, every day that we are able to speak to you, every day we are able to hear you, every day we are able to hear your heartbeat, every day, for your word says, pray without ceasing. Lord, I pray that we would become a church whose heart is to seek your presence, whose purpose is to seek your presence. And Lord, I pray that we don't go anywhere unless you go with us. That is our prayer. That we wouldn't go anywhere without you. So, Father, that's our prayer as a church today, that as we start and as we lift up out the starting blocks in Great Black River, Lord, that you would be with us every step of the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be a word that is stolen from our hearts. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be on hard soil, Father, but that we would be reminded of it all the time and that we could act on it every day. Lord, I pray that you give us that strength to be in your presence, the strength to be patient as we wait on you. So, Lord, we want to praise your name. We want to say that we love you. We want to say that we worship you and we lift your name on high. Thank you, Father, that we can be together to have corporate worship and a corporate word from you. Pray that you bless our week until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. We hopefully see you in the week. We might see you on Wednesday night and Thursday night at Mossel Bay, don't forget. And then communities will start the week after that. Very exciting. All right.